We're here today, Friday, February 13th, 2004, at the Irish Music Center, the John J. Burns Library at Boston College. Today I'm speaking with, and I am Katie McCormick, I'm speaking with Larry Reynolds and Seamus Conley. Beth Sweeney is also in the room. And today we're discussing Debt 9 of Seamus's private debt compilation donation from 2003, the artists on that debt being Joe Cooley and Kevin Keegan. And we're delighted to have Larry here to add his insight into these two accordion players. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Thanks, Katie.
Delighted to be here.
I wonder, maybe we should start, Seamus and Larry as well, just with a little background on Joe Cooley and Kevin Keegan, if you could tell us a little bit about these two men.
Well, I myself, I'm Seamus Conley. I don't know enough about the men to really talk about them in detail. I do have some facts that I will talk about later that I had spoken into a tape recorder that I found just quite recently, within the last week, some information on Joe Cooley. Larry has a radio program, Cultus Culturarian radio program here in Boston, and Larry and I were just talking about it. He and I started that program, what?
20 years ago.
20 wow. years ago. And so we used to play live music sometimes, but we used to also play some old recordings and give information. We used to sort of dig into the archives, if you like, about information. So the information I have on Joe Cooley was taken, I believe, from a Troar magazine, which is an official magazine of Cultus Culturarian. And I'll talk a bit about that. But I think Larry would be the expert on these players. He knew them, and they lived in Boston. He's very familiar with the music, as I am, but as persons, I didn't know them. I did meet them and admired their music always, but I think Larry would be the person we should start with on that. Maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the first things. We have Joe Cooley. Maybe tell us a little bit about him, Larry. In fact, I can actually do that before we move on to Larry, because Joe is the first one on the tape. The information that I had found on a cassette tape was that Joe, of course, we all know Joe Cooley's music is synonymous with traditional Irish music, in particular accordion playing. He was born in Peter's Well in County Galway in 1924. Maybe you might tell us where Peter's Well is, Larry.
It's on the road to Shannon for me when you pass Gart
So it's between Clare and Galway, is it?
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. Right on the borders of both Clare and Galway. Yeah.
Joe Cooley is a legend, I suppose. Is a legend, was a legend even in his own time. He came from a musical family. Both his mother and father played the old style melodeon. And he learned most of his music from them. And he learned it from some of his older brothers as well. He began to play the accordion when he was 10 years old, and then when he left school at 17 years of age, he moved to County Kildare and Edenderry in County Offaly. I don't know what he was doing up there. And then in 1945, he went to Dublin. I remember listening to Kieran McMahona's programs, Jabba Journey Work. He played recordings of Joe Cooley and, oh my God, I can't even think of the guy's name, a fiddle player right now, and I had it on the top of my head. Joe Leary from I think it was from Ardraham, County Galway. But they were great friends, Joe Leary and Joe Cooley. In fact, we had Alan O'Leary here at Boston College with some of the London masters, Brendan McGlinchey and those people, John Bow, a number of years ago. But anyway, that's sort of gone off on a tangent. But Joe Leary had a motorbike, and Joe Cooley had an accordion, and he used to have the accordion strapped to his back. And they'd always go up and down to Dublin, you know, playing. But anyway, Joe moved to Dublin in 1945 and he formed a band called the Galway Rovers, Cayley Band. And in the second half of the 1940s, they were very popular in and around Dublin. Joe was very much associated and closely connected with Conaire na Gaeilge, which is the Irish Gaelic League. And he was a fluent Irish speaker. Now, this is from the information that I found on this tape. In 1949, he moved and worked in London, moved to London. He didn't stay there very long. He stayed for a short time. He made a few trips back in 1951 and then 1950 back to East Clare. He came back to play with the Tully Cayley Band, which he was one of the co-founders mm-hmm. in the early 1940s. He founded the Tully Cayley Band with was a guard, Bert McNulty, who was the leader of the band, whom I know from Killaloe in County Clare. He lived there. Gard McNulty was the man that gave me the great tune, Dowd's Number 9. He was a fiddle player. But anyway, in 1946, Joe Cooley was playing with the band, with the Tully Cayley Band, and they won their first major festival at Faile Limonee, which would be the Limerick Faile. It was like the Thomond Fesh was called. In 1947, they won the same prize again for Cayley Bands in Limerick. That was the Tully Cayley Band. And he broadcast with them on Radio Éireann on the very first broadcast that they ever did, back in the early 40s. And one other thing, they were some of the things he did before he went to America. Now, Larry, you would have a better idea when he went to America. When?
Would be the late 50s. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah, okay.
He and Kevin Keegan. Kevin came out with the Ockram Slopes Cayley Band, which was a Galway Cayley Band led by Joe Mills and George Shanley and Dan Thrassian. Actually, when it came, Billy Soden was their drummer. And as I said, that was the late 50s. Kevin Keegan, I don't believe, good and all as he was, he wasn't as well known as, of course, Joe Cooley.
Joe Cooley, yeah. But there's only one recording of Cooley available, Larry. That's the Gail Inn recording.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think they were taken from excerpts of some of his playing when he came back to Ireland in the 70s. He came back to Ireland. Loved the story about that's told about Joe on the plane. His wife was very nervous of flying, you know, and she said to Joe, what would happen if the plane went down? What about it, said Joe, she didn't hours. It's a great story.
Yeah.
But the LP that came out, a Galen recording, were excerpts taken from some music that he played up in Killinane between Fecal and Gort. A couple of months, I think, before he passed away. There's one great interview on that program done in Radio Éireann, excuse me. Larry, maybe you take over here, you could tell that story.
Well, Joe had an idea that there was nothing like Irish music, as we all feel a little bit the same way. And he said it brought sense to people. It brought people to their senses. And he did say that even black people, when they'd hear it, they'd tap their feet because they understood what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great, great. That was one of the famous interviews.
Why do you think, why didn't Joe make recordings? Was that... Was there not a demand for it? Was it more important to be
probably there
live?
Wasn't a big demand for it at that time.
Yeah.
And the technology wasn't the best either. You know, even then, would you say, Seamus? It was good enough if they did it,
maybe he wasn't interested. I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
I couldn't answer.
But anyway, that's about all I know about Joe Cooley. Like I said, I met him on one of those occasions. Went to see him playing because unfortunately he hadn't too long to live. and like he was a living legend at that time. And thanks, Betty, getting water from Beth Sweeney here, the director of the archives. Thank you. So I did get to hear him in Killinenna. So that recording, Katie, came from some of those nights that he played there. He played a lot there with Brendan, Desi Mulcair, who was a banjo player from that part of the world. You know.
Now, where did these recordings come from?
This actual tape, uh-huh. I have no idea. Somebody gave it to me years ago. I don't know where I got it, who I got it from. I have no idea.
But they were probably private recordings that somebody made.
They were definitely private recordings. And like Larry said, they're probably done in the late 50s, early 60s. Because on this recording also is Martin McDonough, who used to live in
Walpole
here in Massachusetts. Martin was a great accordion player. He came from far back in Connemara. And
yeah. Russaville,
yeah. Yeah. He was a lovely player, and he was actually recorded on the Coltis Kyotorian record that was
We're Irish Still.
His music can be heard on We're Irish Still, which is here housed in this archive. And so these recordings must have been at that time, because I don't think Martin lived in Chicago or San Francisco.
No.
So then there may be Larry, Katie, you can ask Larry now maybe most of the other questions about... I met Kevin Keegan once, I think, in 1964 at a Fla Cure back in Clare, my one and only time that I ever did meet him. I loved his music. We can talk a little bit about the music and the comparison between he and Paddy O'Brien. And I have a lovely story about telling that. But that was the only time I ever got to hear him. I admired his music a lot. But Paddy would be Larry would be the expert in talking about their time here in Boston in particular, you know. So
I wonder, as we begin to talk about Kevin, if you could, I mean, Joe's recordings being on the beginning of The Debt, and as I listen to it, I notice that they each have a very different style. I mean, very incredible players both. But I wonder if we might start by talking a little bit about Joe's style, and what do you find distinctive about it, or what made him so special as a musician and accordion player?
Well, I just heard some of Joe's recordings from, I suppose, back in the 60s or even before then, and I was surprised. You know, they were flawless, the way he played. Yeah. And he had a very unique style of playing, different again somewhat to Kevin Keegan. Kevin Keegan was born not that far away from Joe Cooley. He was born in Tirnascra, which is about 3 miles the Ballinasloe side of Portumna. And he lived on a farm there that had a farm of about 200 acres. But I'm certainly not an expert on Kevin Keegan, but he was a man that when you heard him playing, you didn't forget him.
Mm-hmm. That's a great description.
Yeah.
Lovely description.
Yeah.
They played different kinds of accordions too, Katie, you know.
They did.
Different tuning, so the fingering would be different. Mm-hmm. Kevin Keegan played the BC accordion, and Joe Cooley, what did he play, Larry?
D and C sharp,
or D and D sharp, I think, accordion, which would, the fingering would be on the old, although he would have used the two rows, it would have been on the press and draw system, which is an older style of playing. Yeah. And his music was very hearty, Cooley's music was.
It was like
it came from the heart. Rough and ready sometimes, just I've heard it described, but with such great heart and soul in it. You know?
He has, for me, there was a, on the beginning of the recording, Cooley's songs have, how would I say, I guess more of a bounce.
A lift.
Keegan is incredibly
steady.
Danceable, but it's a very smooth,
solid. Good description, yeah. Yeah, Joe Cooley's music was very danceable, and he played from the heart, and he'd give it an old drag sometimes.
Sit back with his head back like this and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, with that much
ashes
hanging from the cigarette, and they never lose a bit of it. But he'd be sitting back there playing. And
there isn't any photograph, I think, of Cooley available without a cigarette. Yeah, even on the record.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah, he always had a cigarette. And it just shows you about cigarettes, how dangerous they are, how they can be, you know.
Because sadly enough, both of them died from cancer.
It affected him, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your description is correct of their playing, you know. The BC style was more of a fiddle and flute style, the rolls and, you know, what you do on the fiddle and mm-hmm. what you do on the... that was a style that was developed by Paddy O'Brien. And it's both made famous by O'Brien, you know. For the record, I'd like to set it straight. I asked Paddy one time about how did he make up this style? And of course, Paddy was just so humble, you know. I had nothing got to do with it, he says. He told me there was a couple of brothers down in Ross Gray, the Cumminses, and they had a show band, but they used to play accordions too. And they used to play in that BC style of playing. And then there was Sonny Brogan in Dublin, who also played in that style. And the great accordion player, Paddy O'Brien, that lives in Minneapolis today, who was here at Boston College a couple of months ago, he's now playing Sonny Brogan's accordion. Yeah. And Tony McMahon, the great accordion player from Clare, plays Joe Cooley's accordion, you know. So I think it's the Dean D sharp, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, you're right. Keegan's was very smooth, but more on the fiddle and flute style, mm-hmm. which Paddy O'Brien sort of, if you like, he developed that whole style. He sort of perfected it.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1954, he made three recordings, six sides, 78s for Columbia Records. And that's kind of, that style of music took off, and then Joe Burke took over. And so that's the difference in their music, you know. Both very listenable and mm-hmm. both danceable.
Kevin Keegan was referred to as the waltz king. He played a lot of continental waltzes
mm-hmm.
and played them, what I hear now, different than what they play them at home. Not as fast.
Mm-hmm.
The waltzes back home in Ireland were always very fast. He had he slowed them down a bit, and they were absolutely beautiful.
What do you mean by continental waltzes, Larry?
There'd be waltzes from continental Europe, like...
On continental style accordions?
Yeah.
Five-row accordions?
Yes.
Yeah.
He would have copied from them or heard them on five-row accordions and transferred them to the B and C,
mm-hmm.
but he did it absolutely
beautifully.
Yeah.
So when they came to Boston then, Larry, what tell us about their...
They stayed and played around Boston for a while, and
the two of them,
yeah. And Kevin Keegan got a job. I'm not quite sure about whether Joe had been working or not, because he had a sister in Manchester, up past Beverly,
mm-hmm.
and she lived there for many, many years. She came out here when she was about 16 years old, and she actually didn't know anything about Joe. She was probably left before he was born or even grew up, and he spent some time with her.
But what was her name?
Mary Haskins.
Haskins, yeah.
Yeah, she was a lovely lady, and she used to sing herself, and she used to yodel.
Did
she loved country songs, and she was a great yodeler.
Yeah.
And but Kevin Keegan worked for a short time in Boston, and then they moved to New York. From there to Chicago, and then on to San Francisco.
So were they long in New York? Or?
They were not a great length of time, but there were a few years in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And when the guys had become home from mass, Kevin was rather shy. Like he wasn't one that he'd kind of have to be in the mood to play. But when they become home from mass on a Sunday morning, block and a half away, they'd hear Kevin playing the accordion. And they'd take their time, then walk the rest of the way home just to listen to him.
They used to play in
very shy
in Hanley's House of Music. Yeah. I think, I forget that's the official name, but there was a great club in Chicago, and I have some recordings of Joe Cooley. Joe Cooley's Cayley Ben.
Is that right?
Yeah, that Kieran recorded, you know, which I'll give you here too, which end up here. But they played in Henley's every week, and that was a great house of music. Henley's House of Music, I think it was called. So I don't know how long they stayed in Chicago, but they went out to San Francisco then, yeah.
What took them from city to city? Was it the music and just traveling, or they wanted to see different places?
To see different places, or they probably heard that the music was good, mm-hmm. or certainly in Chicago, they knew the music would be very good, and then probably heard it was quite good too in San Francisco.
And did they both make a living as musicians?
They had a big influence on the musicians in San Francisco, particularly Kevin Keegan, I think, you know, from what I hear from different sources. I'm sure both of them did, but they were like gods, which they were gods, and really gods of music, you know, in their own way, you know.
The folk musicians absolutely adore them.
They love them, yeah. They spread the music and taught a lot of music and gave a lot of music.
And they lived in those places where the folk musicians, almost like a commune. I couldn't be fully certain of that, but I did hear that expression.
When you listen to the CD, Katie, or from the Deaths, one of the first ones you hear is the wonderful hornpipe Slieve na Mann, which Joe Cooley plays. Beautiful fingering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Using the two rows on the accordions as well, you know. He goes on and plays some waltzes and the Cuckoo Waltz, the Collier's Reel, just lovely versions and phrasing of tunes, you know. Not, like Larry said, not fast.
No.
And that's how the music was sort of played in that East Galway region of, you know, at the time. Dinny O'Brien's Reel on track 5 was a composition of Paddy O'Brien's and Nina. Very same fingering, the same notes as Paddy would play. And both Paddy and Joe Cooley played together in the Tully Cayley Band, sat side by side, you know, playing. So you can imagine the great music that was there. So there are some of the things that we kind of know about. Larry, did you play with Kevin Keegan and those guys? You did?
No, not really. I couldn't consider myself equal to their, but I was around them and certainly enjoyed listening to them.
But they were the kind of musicians, if you sat down with them, they wouldn't tell you to get up.
They'd welcome you.
But you'd have respect for them.
And
that's one of the great things of I think, Larry's generation and my generation, that we had respect for the musicians. It's a little bit different now. Maybe it's because we're getting older, maybe we kind of feel like we have a chip on our shoulder, but we sometimes don't see the same respect publicly when you go into sessions, music sessions today. It's almost like, and I could be all in my head, might be making it up, but it's almost like you're not welcome or something, you know. I don't know, I get that impression anyway, you know. Whereas those people would welcome, you know, any musician, you know. Mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong about that, but I kind of feel that has happened, that the same respect isn't there. And I think a lot of that's got to do with people who are going to make money from this whole thing, you know. You know, money puts a whole different slant on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes those guys were paid and they didn't get played and they didn't get paid at all, you know. But I think money has changed the whole outlook of music, you know. I'm on my soapbox now, Katie, you know.
That's all right. Yeah. Seamus, there on the Kevin Keegan tracks, you had made some notations about the tunes themselves, some of the tunes that had been very popular in the 50s, I think particularly some of the waltzes.
That you don't
hear today or younger players wouldn't be familiar with. And maybe you and Larry could speak a little bit about that, just the different the different music that was being played by these
men. Some of the waltzes were Skibbereen, the Queen of Connemara, some.
Yeah, and they played them like they were very special when you heard them playing them. Mm-hmm. You know, those tunes were very special where you'd hear somebody else playing them. They wouldn't do anything for you.
Yeah. They did lovely harmonies in the tunes too, like double stops like you would on a fiddle.
A great left hand run, into a... It was really lovely.
Like little 16th notes, all done from a quarter note or something, But they played much slower, the waltzes were much slower, yeah.
Waltzing in Ireland was always very fast, but when they played here, they didn't play quite as slow as the American people play, but much slower than...
Yeah. There was another great English waltz, the Greensleeves.
Yeah.
Kevin played that as well, So there were some lovely waltzes that we don't hear much today. We don't know the names of them, as Larry said,
No.
But they were very popular in the 60s. There was Caelian Old Time Dances.
Yeah.
That's called Old Time. I don't know why they would call it Old Time.
Yeah.
Kelly dancing.
Yeah. He used to do a great job on the Cuckoo Waltz.
Yeah. Well, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on here too, yeah.
And
actually Joe Cooley is playing it here, yeah.
Joe Cooley as well.
Yeah.
You could hear, however they did it, I don't know, you could hear the cuckoo, and right in the tune and without missing a beat, or it was really beautiful.
Yeah, Sean McGuire on the fiddle did something like that too. He's very clever,
Yeah.
They actually hear the cuckoo, Cuckoo. We used to hear the cuckoo bird in Ireland. You don't hear them anymore.
Did you ever hear one?
No, I've never heard one.
Did you, Beth?
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, right, starting spring.
There's a lot of cuckoo people, but I mean...
He was the only bird that never made an initiative for himself. He would watch his chance and he'd lay his egg in another bird's nest. Then when the cuckoo would hatch, when the bird would hatch out, he was always bigger than the nest he was in, so he'd knock the other birds out of the nest.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
So that, I guess that's cool. that's Joe Cooley and Kevin Keegan, two great players. I love both of the music. I only because I played with Paddy O'Brien, I knew his music very well. I could be easily fooled if somebody told me that's Paddy O'Brien when in fact it would have been Kevin Keegan. They were so similar in their styles, One having admiration, the other one having admiration for the other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lovely story that I was going to tell you, Katie. I asked Paddy O'Brien, I said, I hadn't met Kevin Keegan at that time. Never saw him playing, we just met him at a flag hill one day. And so I said, Paddy, was he as good as you? It was like a leading, loaded question, And he looked at me with his eyes, and Paddy looked at you kind of with his eyes twisted, like, what are you talking about? I said, Paddy, was he as good as you? He was nicer, he says. That is lovely,
That's a great...
That's great.
great. Yeah. Didn't say whether he was good or whether he was bad. Paddy thought he was nicer than him. Yeah. Great admiration, So...
Well, thank you very much. Larry, it was great to have you.
Well, delighted to be here. And I certainly wouldn't feel qualified to do either one of them justice speaking about them, but... happy to relate the little bit I did know.
Good. Same for me. I didn't know much about them, but just loved their playing too.